Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. We're trying to get a hold of Simon now. He just called us, and we just missed his call, so hopefully we'll be able to get a hold of him okay. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. Out of This World Radio now has over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries, and I just want to thank everyone so much for their wonderful support. Today I'll be interviewing Simon from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific time. He just tried to call me now. We just missed his call, so hopefully we can reach him back in a few minutes. If you have any questions for Simon today, please email them to me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to ask him anything you like during the show. Simon, are you there?
Yes, Ted, I'm here.
Oh, good, my friend. I was getting concerned, but I'm so glad you called, and I'll make some announcements, and then we'll bring you on in just a few minutes.
Very good.
After Simon's interview, I'll be interviewing James Redfield, who's the world-famous author of The Celestine Prophecy, as well as about, I don't know how many other wonderful books he's written about for the New Age. He's a wonderful man, and I'm so happy he'll be coming on my show. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone so much for their support for this radio show, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate your help and support because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. With that, I want to tell you that I'm having some wonderful success now in raising funds for a new library for the Hopi Indians in Arizona. The Hopi right now don't have any library. A lot of the kids get into drugs there because there's not many perceived alternatives for them on the reservation. And so I've started a campaign to fund a new library for them. And just yesterday, $1,000 came in from my good friends Corey and Saul in Kirkland, and I just want to thank them so much for their beautiful support. If you'd like to donate either spiritual books or funds for a new library and cultural center for the Hopi, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. Our efforts in getting clean water to the Hopi are doing really well, and we're also now working on getting clean water filters for the Navajo Indians who are right next door. Tomorrow, actually, on Saturday, May 25th, there will be a fundraising musical event at a restaurant called Civility and Rest and Unrest Restaurant at 500 Bellevue Way Northeast here in Bellevue. If you'd like to go, please email Leon McLaughlin at Leon McLaughlin, L-E-O-N, Emerson Mary, C-L-A-U-G-H-L-I-N, 199@gmail.com, or please call him at 206-228-6836. Proceeds from the event will directly benefit the Hopi and Navajo Indian tribes for new clean water filters. The Navajo, who live right next door to the Hopi, are also still drinking water contaminated with high amounts of arsenic and radiation, but we're working hard to help all of the Hopis and the Navajo finally have the clean water that they need with wonderful new clean water filters. I also wanted to tell you I want to thank Corey and Saul in Kirkland for their wonderful support, as well as my friends Marion Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who supported the program and helped me raise consciousness. I also like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website, providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, my angelic and earthly family, and of course KKNW, without whose help and support, this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me anytime at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll-free at 1-888-879-8339 in the United States and Canada. Finally, I wanted to tell you that this summer I'll be going back to Mount Shasta twice, from July 2nd to July 8th, and again from September 5th to September 11th. Mount Shasta is a very special, magical place where miracle healings occur from the Telosians and the Hollow Earth, and we always see many Sasquatch and UFOs flying in around Mount Shasta. The last time we were there, last September, we were able to telepathically contact a Pleiadian UFO, and Adama, the high priest of Telos, healed the vision in both of my eyes, restoring them to perfect 20/10 crystal clear eyesight. The cost is only $200 per person, and it includes free camping. If you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or call me at 509-750-9793. Next month, on June 13th, I'll be giving a free presentation on my book, Messages from the Masters, with messages from Albert Einstein, President John F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, and other great spirits at the famous Watkins Bookstore in Leicester Square in downtown London. My presentation starts at 6:30 p.m., and I'll have copies of my new book available for people there. And afterwards, I'll be doing readings. If you'd like a reading when I'm in England, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Following that, on June 20th, Michiko Hayashi of the Immortal Peace Project will also be giving a free presentation on her Messages from Water and the work of the famous late Dr. Masaru Emoto, who found that our consciousness can and does affect our water and environment. Her presentation will also be from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the famous Watkins Bookstore in London. The beautiful Immortal Peace Project children's books will also be available at her presentation, and I hope you can come. And now, the best part of the program. Simon, how are you doing? It's so good to have you here today.
Hello, Ted. I'm fine, and I'm really delighted to, you know, be back with you and the listeners.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Well, you know, I this is an understatement, but we live in interesting times, don't we, Simon? There's been so much going on, and you had a post here, it must have been last week or the week before last, on a film from allegedly fake moon landings, and I watched it. I couldn't believe my eyes. I looked it back, looked for it again on your website, and I couldn't find it. Is it still there? Can people still watch that segment you had on your website?
I think someone sort of got into the website and took it down.
Okay.
But we'll put it back up again. This was taken from a recent release of information from WikiLeaks. It was a re-release of much of the material they'd done, and then they added some more to it. And in this particular one, it appeared to be showing that this was a film taken from behind the film set during the faking of the moon landing. And the difficulty is that whilst it's definitely coming from WikiLeaks, when we look on WikiLeaks' own site, we can't find it there either. Mm. So, you know, it is suspicious that it seems to have disappeared from both my site, yeah, and from the major one. But yes, it appeared to show what many people have believed, that the moon landing that we were presented with was not accurate. I do believe we went to the moon as a human race, and I think we've been there more than once. But I think the manner in which the presentation was given to us, I think that's what's been altered.
You know, I watched those segments on your website, Simon, about a week or two ago, and I couldn't believe my eyes. They were laughing about it. They were saying, you know, that let's make it, you know, basically it was just all a charade. You know, like Shakespeare said, we're all actors on the stage of the world. And I couldn't. Why would they make a fake lunar landing? Would it be to augment a real landing or make it more dramatic? What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, a man close to your heart, when JFK set the bar by saying that, you know, we need to go to the moon,
right,
within, you know, a few years, it galvanized everybody into action, and it became very obvious there were two things. One, they just were not technologically going to be in a position to do it within the time scale they'd given, but they felt honor bound to do it. And secondly, they realized that if they asked for 10, let's just say $10 billion, they could use $1 billion for the presentation and put $9 billion somewhere else.
Mm,
so it became a two-pronged weapon, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about Stanley Kubrick and that wonderful film, 2001: A Space Odyssey,
right,
well, there you go. The guy had all the money he needed to create models of the Earth, the Moon, etc. And there are documentaries on YouTube, which I strongly recommend if anyone's got any time mm-hmm. to have a look at, because it's documentaries on Stanley Kubrick in 2001. Mm-hmm. And quite legitimately, they show how he filmed for the 2001. And you actually see cameras on little rail cars running along a track and a sort of a, you know, a moon about the size of a football. Mm-hmm. And you suddenly realize how it could be faked. You realize how it could be done. Yeah. So Stanley Kubrick was a key part in the presentation of man on the moon.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Interesting. Interesting. And this leads us into the next subject of Julian Assange. You had a post on your website on Monday, May 13th. About Julian, and then just yesterday, the U.S. government, U.S. Justice Department, charged Julian Assange in an 18-count federal indictment for all kinds of things. I've looked it up and read the charges, but I'd love your opinion on that, Simon.
Right. The real question, well, not the question, I suppose, there's a real answer mm-hmm. as to where he's. How it will play out
sure.
is exactly where Great Britain will extradite him to. Mm-hmm. He's been charged by another European country, but if he is extradited to the US, then we know that he will get a far easier ride. Mm-hmm. Now, what's key, don't think many people have picked this up, mm-hmm. but if you look at the way he was removed from the embassy in Great Britain, mm-hmm. He was actually carried so that not a single part of him touched British soil. Now, it may seem odd, but it's a very important political stroke diplomatic aspect. You see, if he touched British soil, then the type of extradition and the way it would work would have to go through a long court session. But because he was carried from the building to the car, and not a single part of him touched British soil, his extradition can be quicker. I think he'll be extradited to America.
Mm, I see. What do you think there'll be the result of that?
I think that the charges that I think are about to be sprung on a number of people will mean that his case will either be thrown out of court or it will be a much lesser charge.
Okay.
I think there's something very big on its way, mm-hmm. which will mean that the charges he's facing will be greatly reduced.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. That's good. That's good. And then there's so many things going on. You had a post a few days ago that Theresa May could resign several days ago. Love an update on that.
Well, she did. I think I put a post out saying that I got the timing wrong.
Uh-huh.
I was about a day out.
Okay.
A day and a half out. Uh-huh. But I think I put a post up saying, okay, the timing was wrong, but the substance was correct.
Mm-hmm.
I did call her to resign, and I think I was about 48 hours or 30-something hours out.
Uh-huh.
I'd had information that a critical mass of her own lawmakers had reached a point where she was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I had expected her to go on a certain day, but what happened was that her number two resigned. It would be the equivalent in the United States of the Speaker of Congress, the leader of Congress
mm-hmm.
resigning. So that's Nancy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's the equivalent in this country. And from then on, it was all downhill for her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's coming, but she will be around to shake hands with President Trump. President Trump is coming to Great Britain and will be here from the 3rd to the 5th of June.
Oh, wow.
And then after that, he's going straight on to France. He's going to be celebrating, of course, it will be the D-Day landings,
mm-hmm.
June. So he's then perhaps off to America, but he may do another country. We're not sure yet.
Who do you? This is a big question, of course, Simon. But who do you think might replace her?
Right. The lawmakers favor a guy possibly called Johnson,
mm-hmm.
But what we really know is it's very difficult because the lawmakers are split, all the politics, of course. Mm-hmm. But the membership of that particular party, it's the governing party. Now, the way it works in Great Britain is that the lawmakers whittle down a shortlist from five or six down to two, and then those two are presented to that party's membership, and then the membership vote. Now, Boris Johnson is the firm favourite in the ordinary membership. So if he can get onto the ballot, the final two is absolutely guaranteed to be elected as the new Prime Minister. Mm-hmm. And he is very much against Europe. So if he gets in, then it'll be even more anti-Europe.
Interesting, interesting. Because I know that the May government has been dragging their feet on Brexit. What's the status of Brexit right now, Simon? I don't.
We're due to leave on the 31st of October of this year.
Okay.
But we've just had the European elections, which happened yesterday, mm-hmm. but we don't get the results until Sunday because some of the European countries are still voting as I'm speaking to you. Mm-hmm. Now, we have a political party which was created 5 weeks ago, mm-hmm. literally 5.5 weeks ago, called the Brexit Party. Mm-hmm. If it can score 40% of the entire vote, it will be an earthquake for the establishment in Great Britain, because it means that they will have enough lawmakers to go to Europe. And I think one of the first things they'll do is try and hold up the setting of the budget, because every government agency, every government organization, on its first thing it does is set a budget. Now, they're the sort of guys that will vote against that budget. So if a Brexit party under Nigel Farage can score 40% mm-hmm. in British elections we've just had, mm-hmm. then that is an enormous earthquake for the establishment of Great Britain. Now, if it's under 40%, they'll cope with it. They'll manage it. Mm-hmm. If it's 40% or above, they won't. So that's the thing to watch for, the percentage of the electorate that vote for a non-establishment party.
That's interesting, Simon. Of course, you're in the UK and you're from there. What your friends and neighbours, how do they feel about Brexit?
It's not a political thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't run on party political lines. Uh-huh. It cuts right across. And in Great Britain, we don't talk about it. Mm. It's a little bit like putting a bumper sticker on the car saying Hillary for prison. You aren't sure to get into an altercation in the street. Sure. So you don't do it. You don't advertise it. Brexit is one of those topics that is not an acceptable political debate. Mm-hmm. What people do is they just go quietly to the polling station and they put their vote and they don't tell anybody what they did. So it's not a gentleman's topic. Gentleman's topic in the true sense of Great Britain mm-hmm. is where you sit and debate. But Brexit is it's a bit like, do you like President Trump or don't you? It's got that energy to it. So it's not something we talk about, you know. It's like religion. You don't talk about religion.
Okay. Well, thank you for explaining that, Simon. Okay. Thank you so much. Just curious. There was a story last year where I heard that the EU had dictated how long people could use their tea kettles in Britain to make tea, and it made so many people angry that they decided to leave the EU. I don't know if that's true, but I heard the rumor. But anyway,
I've never heard that one. I tell you what it is. Yeah. It's many years mm-hmm. of diktats coming from people in another country, mm-hmm. which the British people didn't like. For instance. Right. We had small farmers in this country, and they would grow potatoes or apples, for example, mm-hmm. and you would sell them in a supermarket. And then when Europe took over, mm-hmm. it said that a potato had to be a certain shape. It had to be a certain size. It had to be a certain color. Now, mm-hmm. the only guys that can do this are the multinationals mm-hmm. who can afford to throw away 20 tons of potatoes and keep 10 tons back, and those 10 tons match the requirement of EU through the supermarkets. But your small husband and wife team, or your little group of five or six people, they couldn't do that. So What happened was that we saw the small artisan being destroyed, mm-hmm. and huge multinationals coming in, and that didn't go down well in Great Britain. So One of the key elements was a foreign government, i.e. Brussels, Europe, mm-hmm. telling British people what they can and can't do. British people live on an island, mm-hmm. and people don't understand this. When you live on an island, mm-hmm. you are very different from people who live on a country that has other countries adjoining it.
Sure.
And absolutely. British people don't. I mean, you know, think about the Second World War. Mm-hmm. Nazi Germany mm-hmm. Could just about defeat any country in the world. It couldn't defeat America, mm-hmm. and it couldn't defeat Russia. Mm-hmm. But they're about the only two countries that Hitler couldn't beat. And then he stumbled into Britain, and he couldn't beat Britain.
Right.
And that's more to do with just the British stubbornness mm-hmm. than to do with technology. Mm-hmm. And so it was always destined for Britain to leave Europe, because we were never part of it.
Well, thank you for explaining that. That really makes everything much clearer, Simon. Thank you so much. You had another story on your website about Hawaii, I hope that's pronounced correctly, banned in the United States. President Trump signed an executive order blocking any U.S. firm from contracting with this Chinese firm. Well, I'd love your opinion on that.
I think he was quite right. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. That organization has very strong connections with China. People who know China know that no Chinese corporation can really do anything unless they pass it through the government. It's just the way it runs. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, it's not a problem and it doesn't cause any aggravation. But when a company that is very closely aligned to the government, Chinese government, is being invited into technology, then the Americans aren't happy with that. We have what we call the Five Eyes. Mm-hmm. This is listening posts in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Great Britain, and the United States of America. We call the Five Eyes. Mm-hmm. And the Five Eyes is a club, elite club, for those countries to share intelligence. Mm-hmm. Now, what President Trump privately and confidentially said to Britain is, if you do a contract with that company, we're going to chuck you out of the Five Eyes. Now, very interestingly, yesterday, that company, Hawaii, made a comment saying that there would be dire or serious knock-on effect to Great Britain if Great Britain decided not to contract with them. And the very fact they've said that means that Great Britain has obviously decided not to put the contract with China. Let's put it this way. If you have to choose between doing a contract with China or losing your ally in the United States, what do you do? Well, you don't lose your ally. You cancel the deal with China. So that's what I expect. Sure. Cancel the deal with China.
I told you last year I met with David Icke. He said that China had become a reptilian playground for many decades. And they, of course, the reptilians are very heavily into technology. And one of the things I noticed, I mentioned this before, Simon, a little over a year ago, I was in Lima, Peru, and there was this huge billboard. It must have been, it must have been like 40, 50 feet long by maybe 20, 30 feet high. And it looked like somebody from the Borg in Star Trek, this half-human, half-machine entity, holding up a Hawaii phone saying, this is the future. The future is AI, where people are not fully human, but they're interfaced with machines. And I have never forgotten that that advertisement, but it was there. I don't know if it's still there, but it was there. So,
well, the point is that the Chinese, when I was a kid, it was always Hong Kong that was ahead with all cheap, horrible, mm-hmm. trashy stuff. Mm-hmm. But what happened, and I remember my grandfather in the early 60s, this is worth recounting. When my grandfather was still active as a British diplomat, mm-hmm. he was invited to to Japan, actually. Uh-huh. The Japanese, back in the 60s, had bought the rights to a power station in Great Britain. It was a coal-fired power station. Mm-hmm. And grandfather had been the guy who'd organized that. And what the Japanese did is they didn't take it and dismantle it. They actually sent their men, and they drew it, the whole power station. They drew it, went back to Japan, and built it from all these drawings and photographs.
Wow, amazing.
Incredible. Because what the Japanese can do is copy. At that stage, they couldn't create, they could copy. So then they invited, his grandfather was the government guy dealing with it, they invited him to go out to Japan and have a tour. He went and had a tour. When he came back, I know we're talking about China, but this is the same. This is the same energy.
Right.
When he came, he immediately wrote a letter to the prime minister of the day, warning that the Asian bloc were going to overtake. This is right back in the early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to overtake the Western world if we didn't do something about it. Well, nobody took, unfortunately, at that time any notice. Mm-hmm. And I said to my grandfather, "What was it that you saw that alerted you?" And he said, when he was being taken around this factory, which they had just taken photographs and drawings, he said they had so meticulously copied everything. There was even a little plate which said Platt Brothers 1899. So that factory was built in 1899, and they were so meticulous. There was a little oval plate to commemorate that. They even bothered to do that. And he said, their attention to copying is so great that they will undercut us in every way. Mm-hmm. So first of all, it was Hong Kong, then it was Japan, and then it was China. And the joke, of course, is Japan, I beg your pardon, Hong Kong produced all the rubbish, bless them, and then Japan, technology came up, and that's all been beaten by China, and China is the father of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so America does not fear Russia. America fears China.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very interesting. And I guess that goes on to my next question. Simon, you had several posts about Iran in the United States. I don't look at that getting out of hand, but I'd love your comment on that.
We know that President Trump plays hardball. He will take you to the brink the night before the meeting,
right?
And then the meeting, he will offer you a little bit more, and he can afford to do that because he's very confident.
Mm-hmm.
And many times that works. He basically was pushing the Iranians because he doesn't want to do what President Obama did, and you know, in the early days, Clinton. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to say to somebody, "Listen, if you're a good boy, I'll give you this extra," because what Trump's saying is that rewards bad behavior.
Sure.
So when Trump canceled the deal that he and the Western world had made with Iran,
mm-hmm.
he then said, "I'm going to replace that with a much more forceful response." So
mm-hmm.
I don't believe that President Trump wants war with Iran. I think what President Trump wants is the Iranians to stop making this nuclear material, and he is prepared to threaten them militarily rather than say we will bribe you, basically. That's what's been happening. They've been receiving a lot of money to be good boys, and there are a lot of other countries that don't make nuclear weapons, and they say we never got that a treatment. You know, why is that country getting all that money and extra help just because they're threatening to make a nuclear bomb? So America was losing a lot of its allies. So what Trump did, whether we like it or not, probably is the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for explaining that. I appreciate it. You had another post on your website, Simon, Monday, May 13th, about the United Nations has announced that the will to fight climate change is fading. I'd love your comments on that.
People don't really understand that after the Second World War, the Allies dominated the politics, and they still do today. And what America did back in 1945 was to create structures that ensured that those people that won the Second World War stayed in charge of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And the United Nations was one of these things. It replaced what was called the League of Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And the vast majority of the salaries for the staff are paid by America. Mm-hmm. So if America says we're not interested in a particular topic, it doesn't give money for seminars or symposiums or workshops on that topic. Mm-hmm. So when Trump said we're not interested in that, there was no budget heading for them to run great big lavish TV organized symposiums on climate change. Sure. So with that happening, what they really mean is, oops, the Americans aren't paying our salaries to do this anymore.
Oh.
So we can't do this topic. They're not saying that they're not supporting of it. They're saying is that because America pays, I don't know if it's three quarters, but America mm-hmm. pays a massive amount of money into the UN and for NATO for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And if America says, look, that's not our topic, that's not our interest,
mm-hmm.
If you want to fund it, you find the money from another budget.
Oh,
well, clearly the United Nations don't want to fund it from another budget.
Sure.
So they're just going to die, which shows that it's all nonsense. Because if it was really the big hot topic they said it was, they would have raided another budget to do it. But as long as America was just keep on paying, keep on paying, keep on paying, they thought, well, we're on a winner here. Plenty of money coming in from America. Let's have a big publicity campaign. And as soon as Trump says, actually, we're not interested, all the publicity campaigns stop.
Mm.
Interesting, isn't it?
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I've had some questions come in and from listeners, Simon, but I haven't had a chance for you to focus in on anything you like. So I want to give some time now if you'd like to focus on any particular topic before we go on to other topics.
I'll just give a few minutes then. The most important thing is, of course, the situation with William Barr.
Okay.
William Barr has said that he is going to release the elements to the Mueller report. But the point here is, of course, the reason that the Mueller report's not really understood, I'm afraid, by many people, and I can't blame them, mm-hmm. because it's so dazzling, it's so complicated that most people don't have the time to understand it. But even supporters of President Trump don't actually fully get the picture. And what I'll do is I'll try and explain it as best as I can. The Mueller report dragged on not because the Democrats tried to drag it on, mm-hmm. but because President Trump wanted it dragged on.
Hmm.
Now, that flies in the face of everything you've been told.
Sure.
But the point was that President Trump said, we'll use the Mueller report not just to do what the Democrats want,
mm-hmm.
Which is fine, that's legal, let them do it,
mm-hmm.
but I want to have an investigation into the treason that has occurred when I was fighting the campaign and when I was elected as president, that there was a real action to try to remove me illegally.
Mm-hmm.
So he dragged it on because he got that other information. Now, what's going to be released, I've got my fingers crossed,
mm-hmm.
is not just the stuff the Democrats want, but there should be some information in there which clearly shows a treasonable
mm-hmm.
Offense
mm-hmm.
against the sitting president of the United States. Now, I did put on my site today that this could be, and I can't say 100%, this could be the turning point.
Mm-hmm.
Because if, look, what I need to tell your listeners is that we've talked about this. I've said there's probably about five attempts to murder, and I'm going to use the word,
mm-hmm.
five attempts to murder President Trump since he came into office.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told it's more than that, but that's it. But what your audience maybe don't know is there was also an attempt to murder his family.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
As a sitting president,
sure.
they couldn't get at him because right. his security is too tight.
Right.
I understand there has been an attempt to murder his family. Now, that has meant that if what I'm hearing is right, and I you know, I can't be 100%, mm-hmm. if what I'm hearing is right,
right,
then if those who are guilty, they should expect to face a trial in Texas, Texas has the death penalty. Okay. And I can tell you that President Trump wants the death penalty for anybody who is planned or plotted to kill his family.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually is what we might begin to see unraveling in the next few days. So President Trump has two choices. He can actually instigate military courts in the public eye,
mm-hmm.
or he can use the standard American system. But remember, most of the lower courts are corrupt.
True.
Not all of them. Many of them are.
True.
The Supreme Court now is not.
Yeah.
He has to decide. But I think the beginning of the release by William Barr is a snowball rolling down a mountainside. And I think it's going to start the whole process that so many people have been looking forward to. But the shocking news is that the information I have received is that there has been an attempt to murder the president's family to put pressure on the president.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a straw, as we say in Great Britain, the straw that broke the camel's back. And that is why President Trump keeps using the word treason. Because treason is a capital offense.
That's right.
And people go to the electric chair for that.
Well, thank you so much for explaining that, Simon, because I think many people here are absolutely sick and tired of hearing about the Mueller report, because they know there's nothing there. But if there has been, in fact, an attempt on the president's life and especially his family, then that should be that should be investigated.
Well, I think the point is, if that is true,
mm-hmm.
if it comes out, mm-hmm. if it goes through due process of law,
right.
and if those people are found guilty and pay the price, whatever that is,
right.
President Trump will automatically be elected for a second term of office.
Sure.
Because nobody, regardless of what your political view is, could vote for any organization, no matter how thin the connection is, that had anything to do with the plan to assassinate a sitting president. You don't do it.
Right.
At the end of the day, I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican, a president is a president, and you don't assassinate that president. And we last saw that, of course, with John F. Kennedy.
Right.
I think that there is something very important going to happen along the Kennedy line very soon.
Well, that'll be certainly make for interesting times. But I appreciate you so much for explaining that, because I don't think a lot of people really knew, as always, knew what was going on, Simon. I've gotten a couple of questions in, and here's one here. This is an interesting one from a psychic friend on the higher vibrations of planet Earth. She says that by the end of next year, the vibrations of this planet could go as high as 50,000 times higher by the end of next year, shifting us into an early shift into the fifth dimension. And she says, if that happens, or once that happens, 5G that they're planning on building out here in the United States, other countries, will become more or less completely obsolete. It won't work in the new frequency, higher vibrations.
I totally agree. I don't have any concerns for 5G in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any worry for you guys at all.
Okay.
I know that there won't be any harmful effects in the United States, but I am very concerned for other countries. I've said it before, I keep saying it.
Mm-hmm.
There are enough people in the United States at very high level who are aware of any issues there may be around 5G, and they will act to prevent that from being difficult or hurtful or harmful to people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more concerned with the rest of the world who don't have the type of knowledgeable people that America has at the moment. In relation to what you've described there,
mm-hmm.
I think that's very true, but I actually think that it's going to be sooner than that. I think that the way the energies are changing now, I think we're catching up. We've been through a lull,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's a bit like, you take a piece of elastic or india rubber and you pull it and then you let it go.
Right.
And I think the energy now is so strong that we're rushing to reform. We're rushing to form up as we should be. The band is going back to its normal state.
Mm-hmm.
And the normal state of humanity, of course, is at higher vibrational frequency.
Right.
So what I think will happen is that we will begin to see some very important changes on the planet this year. Never mind next year, this year. So I'm not talking about 5G being obsolete because of frequencies. I'm talking about the ability of people to see the truth in a way that they could never see the truth before.
Oh, good. Excellent. Excellent. Well, that's the purpose of my show, Simon, of course, is to raise consciousness, and that's good news. That's wonderful.
Well, you realize that once this all happens, we'll all be out of a job, Ted.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, yeah, working at McDonald's will look pretty good at that point. But I'm not sure. But yeah, right. Well, I'd love to be out of a job to the point where the planet shifts into the fifth dimension and we're living in a paradise, and people, you know, truly live in harmony and peace, and there's no war and no conflict. That's the kind of world I want. And I know you do too, Simon. I just got a question. It's a little out of this world, but anyway, I'll read it to you.
Sure.
About 3 or 4 years ago, Mr. Snowden, you know, of course, he escaped, a former NSA analyst, escaped to Russia, and one of the things he said. I'm just kind of, this is a long question, but I'm kind of paraphrasing, is that aliens control the U.S. government. And I guess it's a two-part question. Is this still true, and what's going on with Mr. Snowden now?
Right. It's not true now, but it was true then.
Oh, okay. Okay.
What he was saying was that the pressures being exerted on the then government were such that the government felt that its hands were tied behind its back. What we've got now is a president of the United States who has given the military free rein to make the decisions they think are best.
Right.
In other words, prior to President Trump, America was just a football being kicked everywhere, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not. And so I think what the generals do is they pick and choose their fights. As those aliens are still there.
Right.
But they're not in the position to pick up a telephone to President Trump and say, we want you to do this. Cast your minds back to the last dying days of the Obama presidency,
sure.
When the key players were all pulled into Antarctica.
Oh, right.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that couldn't happen now because Trump just gave them the finger.
Mm. Okay.
So that's the difference. That's the difference. So what was being reported 4 or 5 years ago was absolutely accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Those aliens are still there, but they don't have a hotline to the president anymore.
There was an interview done by President Obama on the Jerry Kimmel show, a comedian here, late night show. And Kimmel asked him if he had had any contact with aliens. And he said he did. And they control the White House, and they also control what he can say on the air. When asked about Area 51 to deny that there's anything going on there, I thought it was a fascinating interview. Actually,
I'm shocked to hear that. I couldn't believe.
Yeah,
I can't believe that a man so controlled by the deep forces would be honest like that. Was that a genuine interview?
That was a genuine interview. It's in my book, Messages from the Masters. I'll send you the section there,
yes, and you can. I mean, it just shows. Either the person who's making that comment is just feels so protected that doesn't believe that any law can touch him, or sees the end of the road coming and thinks, well, it doesn't matter anymore. You know, it's all over.
Right.
And that actually is what's happening right across the board.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of people now who can see the end of the road.
Right.
And all they know is that they've just got to keep their foot on the gas pedal. So they're not the intelligence to park up and pull over.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going headlong into oblivion.
Right.
It's really crazy to see people like media people who are quite savvy, quite intelligent, still pushing a particular line when half the audience have fallen asleep anyway.
Sure. Do you think Snowden will eventually be allowed to come back to the United States?
Yes, absolutely. He'll get a presidential pardon.
Really? Okay.
What will happen is, if substantial numbers of people in key places face a court are convicted and then pay the price for that.
Right.
If an individual was seen to be blowing a whistle a number of years beforehand, then that person is seen as trying to do their best. Therefore, the charges against them either greatly reduced or totally reduced. So people mm-hmm. like Snowden, mm-hmm. You know, have a very good chance of having a more normal life. Mm-hmm. You know, look, the American elite, in terms of the military and the Russian elite, gave Snowden that way out.
Mm-hmm.
If he stayed in America, he would have, you know, probably faced the death penalty.
Right.
So it was ensured that he would get out to their ally. And it might be shocking for you to your audience to hear that America and Russia are allies.
Right.
But they are. They really are allies. They have to be allies, otherwise we'd had a nuclear war by now.
Yeah,
why
true.
Do you think we've not had a nuclear war? Because America and Russia are allies. The person who's not an ally is China. Mm-hmm. China is a threat to both America and Russia.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's the threat. And it's not a military threat. Mm-hmm. It's an all-consuming financial threat mm-hmm. from China. And America and Russia have got most to lose from a resurgent China. And so they do work together in a way they haven't done for 20, 30 years.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Again, that's not reported here on mainstream media at all.
No, because it's not popular. It's like, let's bash the commies.
Mm-hmm.
It plays well, it sells well.
Right.
But the reality is that on the top level, I mean, people don't, you know, there was a film that Stanley Kubrick made called How I Learned to Love the Bomb,
right,
with Peter Sellers.
Right.
And if you can remember that film, which I think was made in 1963.
I remember the film, yeah.
Yeah, there was a red phone
yeah.
between the president of America and the president of Russia. And that's
right.
absolutely true. And when I got the tour of the secret radar base in Great Britain, there really was a red phone.
What?
It's there. It has a lock on it. It actually had an old-fashioned lock on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that is the phone to the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So these people can get hold of each other at any time of the night,
mm-hmm.
even if it's just to talk about what's on the movies.
Sure.
So they have the ability to de-escalate. And I think that both President Putin and President Trump have regular conversations.
Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. Absolutely right, Simon. You mentioned China a minute ago. We've got about 8 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you about the tariff. Tariffs going on where Trump has increased tariffs on Chinese products. What do you think is really going on with that?
China has got more to lose than America,
mm-hmm.
bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
China's got to back down.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump made a pledge that he would make America great again,
right.
which means jobs and economy,
mm-hmm.
because he knows what the Democrats didn't know was that people have families and children,
right.
and they're not all lawyers. They don't all have, they don't all are football players. They're mostly ordinary people. I don't care whether they're blue-collar workers or white-collar workers. People in America are struggling. So when Trump said, I'm going to make America great again, what he meant was jobs and money. Now, what was happening was that America was losing a huge amount of money to China through the deals that were being done. And all Trump said was, listen, you should be buying American stuff. You want to buy this Chinese stuff is absolutely fine. This is the extra cost it's going to be to you.
Mm-hmm.
So what will happen is China will back down because the damage to China is far greater than it is to America.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I found the link to the interview with Kimmel and comedian Kimmel and on Obama about.
Well done.
Yeah, about that.
Well, and I couldn't find links like that so quickly.
Well, maybe it's censored there. I don't know. It could be censored. You know, and what I could do is I could, Simon, if you have problems getting it, I could just copy it off and send it to you in an old-fashioned letter.
Anything will be gratefully received. We've got about, 3 or 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
I use for part of my work with people who've had serious, what we used to call brainwashing, but we don't call it that anymore. We call it mind control.
Mm-hmm.
I used a regular, and it's still there, a regular YouTube video, just a standard video, which I've used for 8 years now for deprogramming. And it's just a regular music video, but about 2 years ago, I got the manager, I won't mention what it is, but the manager of the lead singer who Skyped to me and said, just want to let you know, we know what you're using the video for. We're really proud of you. It's really good. We can't officially, you know, say anything, but just want to let you know. And then 2 weeks later after that, the band's lead drummer, the band's drummer, Skyped to me and said, you know, we know what you're doing. I just want to thank you. Now, under President Obama, nearly half of the states in the United States banned this video.
Really?
Didn't like me using it. So I had many clients who I was working with that I needed to use this video. And I had to get it here in my country, share the screen on Skype so they could watch it. And we would work together like that. Now, with a change in president, every state in the U.S. can access this video. Now, what does that tell you about control? You know, and this this is a regular mainstream video, and the guy is still going strong today, and he has a band in one of the European countries. So they were banning and blocking a regular mainstream video because it was a deprogramming video. So I have no question in my mind that, that whether you like Trump or not, whether you think he's a good man or not, the fact of the matter is he's not part of this control system. And I've seen time and time again that the man is different. Yes, he's a maverick. Yeah, there's many people who wouldn't invite President Trump to tea. I would, but there are many people that wouldn't. But what I will say to you is that the reason the media hate him is because they can't control him.
Right. Well, that's certainly true, Simon. And it's all about control, isn't it?
It is, yeah. On this planet.
On this planet, yeah. But I believe in the freedom of humanity. I believe in the freedom of people to you know, within reason, of course, to seek the truth. And that's what you're doing. And that's why I'm so grateful for you to come on today, Simon. And I will get you that link. And if you can't,
I'm really happy to come on. I'm really happy to talk to you. You know, I love America. I really love America. You know, and I think American people are great. And I think America and American people are greatly misunderstood. I think you guys take a lot of trash on your head for the wrong reasons. I actually think that you're misunderstood.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Simon. Those are kind words, and we appreciate it though so much. There's a lot of good people here in the United States, but there's also a lot of good people in Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, China, Russia, South America, Central America, Africa, all over the world, they're good people. And all of us have that spark of the supreme being or God within us. And I think the true purpose of the true nature of humanity is to be kind, benevolent, loving, and caring and to each other and harmonious. So if we just need to bring that out in everybody, we would have a much better and happier world. But that's where we're headed through this program and your work too, Simon, is seeking the truth and trying to raise people's consciousness so everyone can live in peace and harmony. Because that's where we're headed, I think.
Well, we are, and we can't be stopped. We can be slowed down,
right,
but we can't be stopped.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Simon, thank you so much for coming on today. We've got about a minute left if you'd like to make some final comments.
No, I won't. I mean, I'm really proud because generally what happens is you have to cut me off. I'm talking and you say, that's it, I've got to go. So I'm really pleased that I swore to myself with a hand on my heart that I will stop in time.
Okay.
My goodness me, I have. Thank you.
Wonderful, Simon. Well, thank you so much, my friend, for coming on today. And I hope you have a wonderful and happy day.
Thanks. God bless. Okay. Bye-bye now.
Thank you so much, Simon. With that, I'd like to play some words of wisdom from President John F. Kennedy.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
Thank you so much, friends, for listening. Please stay tuned for James Redfield in the next hour.